Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One.
Well, I go on a rant about people's fears and exposure. Also, governing, the mentality for governing. I think
take a knee, everybody.
A little more Woody Hayes than
Woody Hayes. Nice.
A little more Woody Hayes than Mayor Garcetti.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get in on that. Dr. Drew's over there. He's a board-certified physician. He's also with addictions. And he's a medicine
specialist.
Internal
medicine specialist.
He's internal combustion specialist. I like rims.
Wheels.
I like wheels. Drew, you're condescending me when you say wheels. I like rims.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Rims and tires.
No, I understand. Right? But you had when you first sort of enlightened me as to your fantasy world, you said wheels.
Wheels include the tire and the rim, okay. But I like to parse it out.
Okay.
Get rims and tires, buddy.
So lots of thoughts. You know, we've been talking about all roads leading to narcissism, but I don't think I've said on the show before that we have moved our narcissistic quality into hysteric. We're hysterical now. We're hysterical personality disorders. I think we're going to start seeing that go up. Because we've become so histrionic in relation to all things self and grandiose and self preoccupations. And maybe it is, again, as we mentioned last week, that kind of child rearing where everything is scary and everything, protection from the outside world, that when you actually turn people loose on the outside world, they feel attacked. They feel like the world's out to get them. And that makes for hysteria. Anything?
Well,
oh,
we're we're wired,
and that is a more historically that is a more female diagnosis, more commonly female diagnosis, and that maybe goes into your thing about 50 years will all be chicks.
Instilling fear into everyone is exquisitely dangerous.
Yep,
they have. I was on Tucker Carlson the other week, and I was explaining fear and safety and fear. Lock it down. It's not like there's no residue or side effects to this. It's like saying, I enjoy pie and I like watching TV. It's like, that's fine. You shall get fat.
Right.
There's a side effect. Things don't exist in a bubble.
Correct.
You can't just fucking take kids and teach them to be scared of everything throughout their life. And then expect them to with no side effects, nothing.
Then there's this
fucking nuts. Look, goddamn it, Drew.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist physically. You can't use Purell your entire fucking life and expect your immune system to not be compromised.
Yeah.
You can't take antibiotics every time you have the fucking sniffles when you're 9 and expect – you can't grow up in a bubble and expect you not to have a bunch of fucking allergies and shit. There's a physical –
price
to pay for these types of overreactions.
So riddle me this.
Blah!
So Trump says,
"Hey, don't use so much soap and shampoo. You're gross. You're gross.
You hate old people.
You're gross. You don't use. Yes, you're using too much shampoo. You're using too much soap. You're using too much Purell. It can't be good for you. It's throwing off the fucking ecosystem of your skin and your body. That's gross." Oh, you just ate that cashew off the floor. Fuck you. Jesus Christ. It's like a fucking uphill fucking battle arguing with fucking retards my entire adult life about stuff that I know.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So
the good news is I'm fucking right about everything, but blah. Is Gene, You're Young and Alive, is that from a musical?
So it is from a movie, from a 1969 movie called The Prime of Miss Jean Brody.
Oh, right.
Now, the song was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Song. It did not win, but the actress Maggie Smith won an Oscar for Best Actress for the lead character.
Adrian Brody was a big film in 1969.
Was Gene sung by one guy, Oliver?
Yeah, Oliver. Yeah. It was written by a guy named Rod McCune, who also recorded a version of the song.
It's so funny.
It's been covered
a lot. Matt is saying these things like they're words he's never heard before. Some dude named Rod McCune.
I don't know Rod McCune.
He's a bigger songwriter back then.
He was? Yeah. Gene, you're young and alive. All right, go ahead.
I lost my train of thought. So you're complaining about the being right about all the panic, which I agree with you on. But then Trump comes out and goes, hey, I'm a leader. I was trying to make sure people didn't get panicked. And now they're becoming hysterical about that.
Yeah,
lied. I find that weird. I thought that's what leaders do. They. I'm glad he reduced the panic because the press was going the other direction. It's so crazy to me.
Oh, but it doesn't matter what – you know, CNN does. I mean,
what do you mean?
I mean, you know, they're not, you're reading it like there's some method to their madness. There isn't. They're just
whatever he says wrong.
To say the opposite. That's where we're at. That's why you don't have to watch CNN. Do you have, Gary was trying to find Billy Jack's girlfriend and public health director, Barbara Ferrer. He
not
still
yet.
Needs
not
a couple
yet.
More minutes. All right.
He's an editing machine over here.
So we actually didn't talk about the Rocks video, huh? On this show?
Do we have – all right, sorry. One point, I'm going to tell Dawson to mash up the Village People and Billy Jack's girlfriend getting raped by the river.
What? Just to show that how we found our way out.
Well, maybe it'll lead us out of this one.
Yeah, yeah.
What Rocks video are you talking about?
When he was talking about how the worst experience of his life was he got the flu.
Oh, and, The Rock.
Yes.
You said the Rock's experience. I was like, I don't – what?
No, the Rock.
Yeah, the Rock.
And I was just – that to me was the weird – I think we did talk about it. We talked about it a lot, you and I, privately.
Talk about off the air. Yeah.
Yeah, we must have talked about it somewhere on there because it was such an astonishing thing that this virus has taken down our superheroes, Batman, The Rock. And his kids didn't get sick at all. Yet they contracted the virus, as kids do. They can be positive for the RNA, which really reminds me of something else. Now, let me – this is actually a more important topic. So we don't distinguish between – we just call everything a case now, right? And the implication in the press that a case is someone sick, and then they talk about it as though it's somebody really sick and in danger of dying. But right now, cases – because of the way we detect the viral RNA in people's nasal cavities, our tests are so good. We do a 40 times amplification, which is excessive, which means we're going to pick up just pieces of viral RNA in people's nasal passages. And there's so much virus around right now that there's going to be pieces in people's nasal passages who are not infected, not infectious, and not sick.
Yeah. Well, this is – this is a good point, and this is an interesting thing, which is the reason I eat shit off the ground and the reason I, you know, when you open the cottage cheese and it's got a layer of green fur on the top of it because it's been sitting too long, I just scrape off the green fur and then I enjoy the cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I've eaten a C's Easter egg, giant Easter egg that sat on someone's basically windowsill for 9 months. I just ate it. You
chocolate
know,
stays.
That's the way I look at it. But the point is this. I want you young kids to dig what I'm saying. I don't go through my life thinking I'm not going to be exposed to things. See, if you slather yourself in Purell and you put a piece of plexiglass in between you and society and you wash everything 30 times – and sterilize everything. What you're saying is I'm never going to be exposed to it. Yeah. So when I say to people, I'm going about my life, they go, you're going to get this thing because you're traveling and you're flying Southwest and you're staying in hotels and you're not wearing a mask and you're walking around, you're doing all this stuff. And I go, yeah. See, we're operating from two different thought points here. Mm-hmm. You're operating under never be exposed to it. Kill it. Distance yourself from it. I'm operating off the eat the fucking cashew off the tarmac at Burbank that the pigeon picked up and spat out, which is I'm going to get some whatever that pigeon's got in it. That's why I never get sick.
Yeah.
Matt, how many fucking sick days have I had in 10 years? I'm the oldest person here.
Yeah, not one. You were even filming your movie when you were super sick.
Right. I get sick on very rare occasion, and that's just because I'll run myself into the ground on occasion, but I still just go out and I go do what I do. So I don't wash my hands. I don't use Purell. I am leaning into things, not trying to run from them. Because here's my feeling. I've done the math on running. I hear the stories. Here's my running math. There's a handful of people I know. I know Bean Baxter from K-Rock. His announcement, I did everything right.
Got it.
Then I turn on CNN. Somebody's parent died of it. They did everything right. Then I watch the DNC. My dad was a Trump supporter, and he ignored all the safety precautions, and now he's dead. So I don't know. We got one side who did everything right. We got another side who did nothing right. They're both dead. Then there's The Rock. The Rock did everything right, but he let someone into their house, and now he got it. But he's okay. It didn't hurt him. His kids didn't even know they had it. So I'm not operating under the assumption I won't get it, because if everyone is doing everything, how are you going to do better than The Rock? If everyone is doing everything right and I do 4% of what they do, then logic would suggest that I'm going to be exposed to it. I'm not, and this is what I'm trying to tell society. If you're old and you're depleted, that is a different situation. I don't look at myself that way. That's why I happily get on airplanes and go across the country. You guys do this math where it's like, you're going to get it because you're flying. That's fine. I would be insane to think I'm not going to be exposed to it, considering all I do, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're operating under two different vantage points. And what I need people to do who are healthy and young is to shift the narrative from, I don't want to get it, to, I'd be fine if I did get it, or maybe I have had it and I didn't even know it. That's what I'm trying for.
The layer that you'll get pushback on is people go, but you'll expose other people.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, everyone I live with is younger than me. All right. We got our Billy Jack mashup ready, but
I'd like to
first.
Let's all talk to this guy. That's
I know. Okay. But first,
okay.
Hang on, Gary. Talk to Joey, who's a San Francisco police officer, 40. Joey?
Hi, Joey. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
So basically, I'm a police officer here in San Francisco. We've been under lockdown for 6 months now. And what I've noticed, when all of this is over, we're probably going to have, I mean, just to guess, probably five times as many overdose deaths than we will have COVID deaths.
It's certainly the city of San Francisco and Los Angeles will see something like that. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, folks aren't interested.
And it's frustrating. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I mean, celebrities and news outlets, neither here nor there to them.
I have been talking to people in the federal government, though. They are interested, believe it or not. They you know, because the opiates has been the first lady's thing all along, and she's aware of this phenomenon and thinking about doing something.
Sorry. Go ahead, Joey.
Oh, no. And it's just how we're dealing with it in the city is literally just throwing money away.
Yeah,
they keep proposing new taxes. A new one just got passed through. It's going to be $300 million just for homeless people. And what they do is they're putting them in actually some pretty nice hotels, and they just house them there. And people have been ODing in there. There's been assaults in there. And one hotel, a guy started a meth lab, It's just really frustrating.
So, how would you change things to be able to get something meaningful done? Because I know what's missing, but what do you think?
It's going to be a lot of things. We need a district attorney who is on our side. Mm. We need a board of supervisors that actually, they seem to just care about wanting votes. They actually don't care about helping people.
Yeah.
Honestly, we got to stop enabling them.
Right. So, you have to be able to tell them you can't do drugs, you can't live on the street, you have to come here and get treatment, right? Pretty simple.
Yes,
yeah,
pretty simple.
Now everything categorically, every law prevents you from getting anywhere near that, anything. So you can't do any of that. and they are committing murder by preventing people. No other country on earth does this. So it's they somehow believe that drug addiction is a static process. Hey, man, let them just do it. Hey, man, they just do it. No, it's a progressive disease that ends in death. Period. End.
Yes.
And they seem to want this to happen to people.
Well, let me explain what's going on. And then I have some questions for you, Joe, as a police officer. Drew,
yes, sir.
All just part of the big picture of authority, tough love, real work, diet and exercise.
What's hard, yeah.
It's like being a football coach. Yeah. Like, hey, knock it off.
Yeah.
Hey, get back to whatever. It's like, I'm sleeping on the street. You can't sleep on the street. Yeah. We have rules. It's more than legislation. It's just an attitude. Hold on. In cities like San Francisco and cities like Los Angeles, who are the most progressive? Well, the most progressive really just means super soft pussies running everything, wanting to be everyone's best fucking friend instead of the fucking football coach from the 70s. Now, here's the deal. Everyone's best friend, you know what I mean? Like Bill Belichick wants to fucking win Super Bowls, and that means cutting favored players from one year to the next year, and that means discipline, and that means being cold and standoffish and not giving warm and fuzzies and press conferences and everything to win Super Bowl. If you want to win Super Bowls, you can't be every player's best friend. In the media's best, it doesn't work. You can be everyone's best friend. You'll never go over 500. The city you live in is filled with a bunch of feel-good, fucking huggy-squishy, good vibes. I want to be everyone's best friend. And the city starts eroding. It's pure and simple. Same as Los Angeles. It can go no other way because it's the wrong mentality to run something. You can't. Running a city is not a fucking den mom job, and it's not a wet nurse job. It's a fucking war general job. That's how you run a fucking city. I'm sorry if you think that's a little cold or I don't want to have a beer with this guy or he's harsh. Fine. Have a beer with your best friend in a safe city with no homeless. That's what I'm saying. Running a city is the mentality of a football coach, of a general. The mentality of the people in charge of your city and the people in charge of my city are camp counselors who want to have good vibes all around, which is great if you're at camp. If you're running a city, it shall go no other way.
How's the rat situation there?
What'd you say, the rent?
Rat.
Rats. Well, I work in the Tenderloin district, so we got quite a few over there.
Right. So we had a bubonic plague outbreak just north of you, and so that's coming. That will enter that rat population within the next 6 months, so keep an eye out. If you see pneumonias, think plague.
What's the temperature like or the demeanor like for the average cop? I'm worried that – I mean, obviously, there's already plenty of stories of people resigning, people quitting. Also, you know what people don't really understand, Drew? Mm. And Joey, you can help me with this. When I work construction or even radio, if you fucking hated your foreman and you quit, you could quit. That meant no money the second you walked off the job until you found another job doing construction.
Right.
So you had to think long and hard about resigning. Some of these people that got 27 years in, and are thinking about retiring in the next 5 years, just go, fuck it. I'll take my severance. I'll take my retirement now.
The entire command of that Northern New York's case, the guy with the mask or whatever, the entire command retired.
Yeah. But it makes it pretty fucking – here's what I'm saying. It's pretty fucking easier to retire when you've been in for 30 years and you got a nice fat pension waiting for you and the fucking DA and the mayor and everyone's blaming you and calling you a killer and everything. You go, fuck it. I'm going home.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to do that
if you're in that situation.
Yeah, that's what's going on. I just talked to somebody. It was actually, I forget where, but they're saying basically everyone who's quitting, they either have 5 years in or less, or they have about 20 years in.
Right.
So nobody's doing 30 plus years anymore. They either have, they're 27 years old with 2 years in. They're like, screw it. I'm going to go do something else for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Or they're like, okay, I'm going to quit, sell my home, and move to Texas.
Yeah. Right. So you're saying
make it work there.
Like under 5 or over 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, but never. It's hard. Not many people are doing 30, 35 years like they used to.
Jeez. Right. And also, though, the people that aren't going to quit are the people that are 11 years in, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Right. So, exactly. So I was having these thoughts like, yeah, if you're fucking 20 years plus in, well, just leave.
Right. And if you're not, what are you going to go do? You know what I mean? It's your job.
Well, if you're under five, you go, fuck it. I'll be a Finnish carpenter and I'll move to Idaho.
Right.
Yeah. And it sucks because I used to really love my job. It's a great job. I did it, got into it for the right reasons because I wanted to help people. But now it's just, if I can give any advice for people in Los Angeles, do not vote for Gascon for DA.
Oh, my God.
He
oh my
God. Came up here and ruined this city. Yeah. And he ruined the whole state with Prop 47. So,
Prop what?
47.
Prop 47.
What is attractive about
not just
about
ruined the state. He's murdering people with that. This guy's a murderer. He's a well, that's murders what people don't understand.
When cops from other states come in, they'll come up to me on Market Street and they'll be like, is heroin legal here? Because we just saw like three people shooting up on the sidewalk. And I explained to them, it's like, well, it's not legal, but they get a citation just like if they jaywalked or littered.
Right.
That's all that happened.
And to a drug addict.
Take me off the street for 3 hours.
Yeah. Right. To a drug addict who, what are they going to do with that? Thanks, Joey.
I don't get who these people are. What's his name?
Gascon. He's running against.
It's like I'm. What's he running for?
DA.
I'm the DA who doesn't enforce laws.
He ruined San Francisco, and now he's going to come down here and do it here.
What's attract? I know he's a Democrat. What other than that? What is attractive about it?
I don't know. It's weird. The guy's a murderer.
I mean, he's fucking these people. They just ruin a city, and then they just go off to the next city like a fucking carpetbagger. What is that?
But how does it? How can people look at San Francisco and say we want that here? That's the part I find.
That's what we do. That's what we do. We're like a super majority Democratic.
Lacey, D.A. Lacey is already, oh my God.
She's already what?
Under attack, and it's just.
Look, people, enforcing laws doesn't make you mean. That should be the fucking slogan for whoever's running against this jack off, which is, it doesn't mean you're mean. It means you enforce laws.
Yeah, you save lives.
And save lives.
On both on the victim side and on the perpetrator side, the user side. Gary, can you put up that graph I gave you at the beginning of things about excess deaths? Look at this. This is where we are now. That graph that we're looking at a graph now of usual deaths in the United States, right? It's a blue bar. Is it been a pretty steady sort of a average? There's some – see the peaks.
Of about 60,000 – is it weekly number of deaths from all causes?
All causes, 60,000.
It's about 60,000.
Right.
And normally in this country.
And there's a peak. We're looking at January 2010. You see that little peak right there?
Mm-hmm.
That was our last pandemic. That was H1N1.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a peak of excess deaths. You don't even know that happened.
Right.
And yet you can see it on the graph of excess deaths.
January 2010.
Now you move forward and you see we're at March of 2020 and you see the escalation of excess deaths.
It popped up again. It popped up a little bit higher.
Yeah. And that's the COVID outbreak. And then you can see the second outbreak during the summer here. There's a second peak. And what's interesting about this, as of essentially September 1st, we're 14% below our average deaths. We're now below the number of deaths that usually occur.
Well,
on a
so when
basis.
They go 190,000 deaths from COVID, how does that factor into this then? Banging his mic around.
There are 190,000 deaths from COVID, but they are at least a significant percentage, according to this graph, would have died of something else.
That's how it factors.
Yeah.
In. Right. So obviously, if you tacked 190,000 onto this graph, then you would get a big spike.
Right.
But if, according to this graph, and historically, those people were slated to die in the next X amount of months because they were in nursing homes or compromised or advanced to cancers or things like that, then it wouldn't affect the graph.
Correct.
Now, there you go, Drew. Speaking truth to power.
Yeah. There's a guy named Michael Levitt out there, a Nobel Prize winner, that keeps talking about these graphs. Look at his videos. They're very interesting. They're very interesting. He thinks we should be looking at excess deaths, not total deaths.
All right. Let's bring it home. You can see me live doing stand-up October 2nd and 3rd, Salt Lake City, Wise Guys. Also, we're doing live pod and stand up there as well. And we'll do a live Reasonable Doubt there. You go to amcroll.com for all the info you need and my YouTube page and check that out. What do you got, Drew?
DrDrew.com, YouTube/DrDrew. Check out the streams there. And don't forget After Dark.
We're going to do a mashup on our next show, Billy Jack.
Oh, so excited.
Jerry's excited. So until next time, Adam Crowe, Dr. Drew, same. Mahalo.